The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Thank you very much, Eamon. U.S. President Donald Trump has said that European leaders will visit the White House individually today and tomorrow to talk about the war in Ukraine. Over the weekend, he said he was prepared to move to another level of sanctions against Russia after a lack of progress following his meeting with Vladimir Putin last month and this week's aerial bombardment of Ukraine, including setting government buildings in Kyiv ablaze. President Putin has suggested a meeting between himself and President Zelensky of Ukraine, but to take place in Moscow. Speaking on ABC's This Week yesterday, President Zelensky responded to that suggestion of a meeting in Moscow.
He can come to Kyiv. You know, if a person doesn't want to meet during the war, of course he can propose something which can't be acceptable by me or by others. It's understandable. I can't go to Moscow when my country is under missiles, under attacks each day. I can't go to this capital of these terrorists. It's understandable, and he understands it. It's the same proposition, as I said, that he has to come to Kyiv. Yeah, so it's understandable that he is doing it to postpone the meeting. We said, now I always said we can't trust Putin. He plays games, and he's playing games with the United States. I think so. It's to my mind.
But do you think the possibility for a bilateral meeting is dead at this point?
No, it was signaled from the president and from President Trump, and I said, look, Mr. President, I'm ready for any kind of meeting, but not in Russia.
And can you blame him? If you remember what happened to Prigozhin's plane, where he was effectively assassinated by the Russian government, would Zelensky feel in any way safe venturing into that lion's den? I'm joined by Terry Sheridan, Senior Director of News at WSHU Public Radio. Terry, good morning.
Hey, good morning to you, Pat.
Now, the question of settling it in a week, this is his latest prognostication, given that before the election, he said he'd fix it in 24 hours.
That's right. And again, you know, how many weeks are passed since he met with Putin in Alaska and basically said that things were going, you know, they were close. But in the past couple of weeks, President Trump has expressed frustration, not only on the increasing drone attacks, the increasing attacks on Ukraine, but also Putin's behavior with or his meeting with Xi, North Korea leader and the Indian leader, and, you know, said that they are in a conspiracy against the United States.
Now, many commentators are saying that Trump is being played by Putin, but also being humiliated by Putin, particularly that meeting in China with Xi and with Kim Jong-un. Is MAGA waking up to that humiliation yet?
I don't think so. I mean, again, when you're dealing with Putin is a Czechist. This is his life. This is his life is one of secrecy and power and I don't want to say tomfoolery because that lightens it, but, you know, sleight of hand. And it's just that he is, if he's not playing or humiliating Trump, at least he is stringing him along so that nothing happens while he continues, Putin, that is, to continue his goals in Ukraine, which is to get the territory that he has seized and get some more territory.
Do you believe that Trump will institute meaningful sanctions against Russia?
I don't know. I mean, again, it's the definition of meaningful sanctions. He's already put 50% the secondary tariff on India for importing.
But leaving
Russian
China
oil.
Untouched, China being a far bigger importer of Russian energy than is India.
That is correct. I mean, again, what he will do, I mean, who knows? Putin may flatter him today or tomorrow and things would ease. Again, if you remember at the time of the meeting in Alaska, that was when another deadline came and went where Trump was going to impose sanctions and he did not.
Now, moving on to domestic affairs, on Friday we talked about the Trump administration's rebrand of the Defense Department as the Department of War, and he threatened to unleash the department on Chicago, saying in one of his posts that the city's about to find out why it's called the Department of War. This was in an apparent reference to a possible deployment of federal forces, as has happened in Los Angeles and in D.C. He was asked by a reporter whether he was declaring war on Chicago, to which he replied, "Listen, darling, that's fake news." And when she followed up, he said this.
"Be quiet. Listen. You don't listen. You never listen. That's why you're second rate. We're not going to war. We're going to clean up our cities. We're going to clean them up so they don't kill five people every weekend. That's not war. That's common sense.
What's he going to do in Chicago? I mean, he's been warning that he's going to send the National Guard in and possibly other troops to put manners on Chicago.
Well, this could happen as early as this week. It might even happen as early as today. Border Czar Tom Holman first said that the meme, which, if you're not familiar, referenced the movie Apocalypse Now. The quote, "I love the smell of napalm in the morning," was changed to, "I love the smell of deportation in the morning." Tom Holman says that, no, we're not going to war with the people of Chicago, but we are going to war against crime and illegal immigration. So troops, our National Guard troops are on the standby from several states waiting to be deployed for two reasons stated by the president. One is to help with the crime. The other is to conduct deportation raids. The city of Chicago, the state of Illinois, has said, one, that's not legal. There's threatening legal action, and the mayor of Chicago has instructed the Chicago Police Department not to cooperate with National Guard troops. What does that mean? Anybody's guess. Is it actually confronting them, or is it just not offering any support?
Now, it's interesting. He's lost so many cases in the courts and then they delay implementation. For example, his tariffs, it turns out, are illegal according to a federal court. But they will face massive claims for compensation from many companies and countries around the world for the imposition of those tariffs if they're illegal. So the judge puts a stay on his order to allow the Trump administration to appeal that order. He's also lost some deportation cases where he's not allowed to deport Guatemalan children who enjoyed protection, for example. All sorts of things. He keeps losing and losing and losing, and yet he persists.
And he looks for different ways. I don't want to say loopholes, but they are loopholes to get around things. So, for instance, the case that he lost regarding California and Los Angeles was based on one law. He might say that going into Chicago is based on another law or another enumerated power that he has and use that and then let the courts decide whether that goes on. But the whole thing is, if he is sued by the state of Illinois, or the administration is sued by the state of Illinois, it might be after troops, National Guard troops, are already on the ground.
Now, when he says he loved the smell of deportation in the morning, referencing or channeling Apocalypse Now, interesting that the raid by ICE on the Hyundai plant, which resulted in many South Koreans being apprehended, shackled, bound, and ultimately they will be deported, admittedly, in some kind of comfortable transport supplied by the South Korean government. I mean, that very action, encouraging foreign countries to invest in the United States, and then when they do, this is the thanks they get.
Well, that was a diplomatic faux pas, at the very least, because many of the workers were in this country with legal visas to work or legal visits or legal visas to come in and observe the work. So again, yes, inviting a company in to build a product here in the United States, giving legal visas and then deciding it was not legal. Yes, the message that there was high level negotiations on how they were going to deal with those workers.
You know, while he sucks up to Kim Jong-un in North Korea, which is still technically at war with South Korea, then he offends one of the United States' great allies in South Korea, American troops on the ground in South Korea, of course, and bases and so on. Does he have no real understanding of how to join the dots?
I think he has his own understanding of what he wants to see the world through his prism and through what he wants to accomplish, what he thinks is the best, and that's all he sees.
Now, I want to move on to something else, which is perhaps domestically even more disturbing. The top-ranking Democrat on the Senate Intelligence Committee said last week he was blocked from visiting a military spy agency as part of a routine visit, which he'd be entitled to do as the ranking Democrat in the Intelligence Committee. Senator Mark Warner of Virginia spoke about how these visits work on Face the Nation yesterday.
I have done these visits to our intel facilities for the 10 plus years I've either been chair or vice chair of the Intelligence Committee. They are part of the normal course. You get a chance to see the workforce where they're working. You get to see their newest, best, coolest stuff. And oftentimes I get to do a town hall meeting because I'm not only the chair or vice chair, but many of these facilities are in Virginia.
Right.
So this meeting had been on the books for literally weeks, normal course of business. This very unusual individual, Laura Loomer, who is a right-wing blogger, who is so controversial that the Trump administration didn't even put her in their cabinet. And she has been a 9/11 denier. She's been a virulent anti-Muslim individual. She has been a big proponent of working with white nationalists. Yet she seems to have the ear of President Trump.
And Senator Warner went on to detail just some of the decisions that Loomer has claimed, including the firing of his first national security advisor and the head of the National Security Agency, and wondering whether she really is the Secretary of War. I mean, Laura Loomer, we've heard her name, and she knocks around with Trump. She's one of the, you know, the so-called beautiful women that he surrounds himself by. But she has no official position at all, and yet she's highly influential.
She has none official position. She never has had an official position. However, she does have the ear of Donald Trump. Donald Trump looks to her as, I guess, a representative of what MAGA is doing. When she found out about this, she went to the president. The meeting was then canceled. Then she called for the firing of the Rear Admiral, who was going to give the briefing and give the tour. And then afterwards, once the meeting was canceled, she tweeted or X'd whatever it was that, you know, FAFO, which is an acronym for F around, find out. So she claimed the scalp on this. So now there will be no longer individual briefings from the department. It will be on a purely bipartisan basis. So you'll have a Republican and a Democrat, where before it was a high-ranking Democrat, a high-ranking Republican, no matter what administration was in power, who was in Congress, they would get the briefing on a pro forma basis.
Now, last week, and a very disturbing aspect of the administration at the moment, American forces carried out a strike on a boat in the Caribbean, which the White House said killed 11 drug traffickers from a Venezuelan cartel. However, it was blown to smithereens. There are no bodies recovered, or if they have, they've been recovered by perhaps the Venezuelans. So very little detail as to who was killed unilaterally by the United States. They could have been people who were being trafficked. They could have been innocent civilians. However, this is what the Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, had to say, and he kept mentioning one person's name.
Yeah, the president made the announcement and said it was a lethal strike. Suffice it to say that the president is going to be on offense against drug cartels and drug trafficking in the United States. It destabilizes not just the country, but the entire Caribbean basin. These particular drugs were probably headed to Trinidad or some other country in the Caribbean, at which point they just contribute to the instability these countries are facing. So the president's been very clear that he's going to use the full power of America, the full might of the United States, to take on and eradicate these drug cartels, no matter where they're operating from and no matter how long they've been able to act with impunity. Those days are over.
Now, the president is the one responsible for this particular attack, which may, as I say, be illegal. But, of course, the president can do no wrong, according to the Supreme Court, once he does it as president.
Yep, that's absolutely. I mean, again, anything that the president does, according to the Supreme Court, in the pursuit of what he thinks is right, cannot be considered a crime or cannot be considered illegal. The interesting thing here with Marco Rubio for decades has been pushing for stronger sanctions against Venezuela, stronger action. He has called for the removal of Nicolas Maduro as Venezuelan president. He views Venezuela as one of the last two vestiges of communism in the Western Hemisphere, and again has said that they are importing drugs and people into the United States and has been calling for tough sanctions against Venezuela for decades now.
But it means nobody's safe in open waters. If the United States think they're bad guys or even good guys that they don't like, bang, you're gone, you're dead. Anyway, finally, I should ask you about the reaction so far in the United States to the attack in Jerusalem this morning, which killed at least five people, injured maybe 15 more. and the two assailants have been shot dead. Any reaction so far in the United States?
No, it's still early. It's 20 minutes after 6 here. So, again, the United States is waking up, but we have not had any official statement from the government or any of the pro-Israeli groups or intelligence community here in the United States.
All right, Terry, thank you very much for joining us. That's Terry Sheridan, who's Senior Director of News at WSHU Public Radio.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.